Andrea is making salsa, and she left for a month, and there was salsa for sale left in our fridge. There's no more salsa left for sale. We also have pickles. Have you tried her pickles?
No, or the salsa, and I need to
Oh,
have both. I
okay.
really
I
do because
will.
I'm a big fan of both. I mean, I'm the German blood. It's like I have to have a vinegar intake a certain amount per day. I just crave it.
Vinegar intake,
Seriously.
parts per liter. Hey everybody, I'm Evan Farmer, and welcome to Disaster Diaries. I'm here with my co-host Andy, and we're here to interview people who have literally lost everything and survived to tell us how they rebuilt.
I'm Andy, and we're diving into the human side of disaster recovery, the grief, the grit, and the guts it takes to start over.
All right, so thanks for tuning in, and without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Hey, if you shop at Home Depot, this is a no-brainer. Our free Build SOS program unlocks verified discounts, often up to 30%, plus access to exclusive deals on tools and materials. It is especially useful for contractors, handymen, and DIYers who buy regularly. No fees, no gimmicks, just better prices at checkout. All you have to do is click the link below or in the show notes that says Build SOS with Home Depot to start saving. Welcome to Disaster Diaries. I'm Evan Farmer. You know, despite the serious nature of our show, today's episode was a fun one. We got to talk to an old friend of mine from my days hosting the TLC Home Makeover Show While You're Out, interior designer extraordinaire, Chase Dakota.
Okay, Tampa Firehouse. Do you remember the Tampa Firehouse?
That's where the fire guy actually had this like award because he resuscitated a dog and he was like the local hero. Is that the same
Didn't
one?
even notice.
Mouth to snout resuscitation. Okay, go on.
Do you remember that for the bar top we were redoing in this firehouse? I wanted to do a parquet matchstick resin sealed bar top.
Oh my God. To make for people to make at home? Like, this is your idea, make this at home.
No, I was like, don't do this at home, only in a firehouse because they have all the extinguishers and stuff ready to put the fire out. I think Evan, you'd come in and be like, and Chase is maybe crazy because she's putting matchsticks on a bar top. So
You're
that's
making a bomb. So this is
well.
how you make a bomb. It resin,
It
by the
is.
way,
Oh my
is
gosh.
highly
You know
flammable.
what an
Well,
idea. It was one of the funniest that my memory.
Chase has since shifted her focus to raise awareness around water security and accessibility through her charity, Nothing Without Water. Sadly, she was also one of the many who lost her home in the Palisades fire. For the people listening, Chase and I have a long history together. You might remember us from the hit show While You're Out on the Learning Channel.
Emmy nominated, let's not leave that out.
Emmy nominated number one home makeover show on television. And I want to say we probably did 4 to 5 years of episodes together, which
Yeah,
in the world of
four.
TV, it's like dog years, right? It's forever.
Yeah, it is
It's kind of
forever.
very few shows go that, and certainly not anymore, but back in the day, even it was kind of a big deal. But we worked together. You were one of our designers, but you were the best designer.
Oh, he's so good to me. You're so good
I
to me.
know.
Even if
You
you're
were my
telling
favorite
everything.
designer.
Come on.
I, of course, was the host who drove you absolutely crazy.
I know, but that's not true because you were the guy who got more done than anybody else on set. You know, everybody else was performing for the camera, and meanwhile, the production company's like, Evan, you have to build seven things in 48 hours. And you'd be like, okay, I'll do it. And you did it. So
Right,
thank you.
I was a little bit of an eager beaver, but I do remember, and I want to apologize for all those who are listening for giving you such a hard time so many times. In particular, there's one
Oh,
moment that I have
I
on
want to
my
hear.
reel. So we were at a bar, doing the bar makeover, and it might have been in the Northeast. And I remember we
Hilton
were
Head?
doing where
Hilton Head?
it. Oh, it was Hilton Head. What a memory!
Yes.
Golly.
I remember every, the visual memory. It's
You
scary.
do have a photographic memory, which is why I feel this is a long overdue apology. So for people out there in listening land, she had this a brilliant design for this bar, but back in the 80s, which I think was something in the theme, or 70s, there was the chain doors that people used to have. And you had designed this idea where we were going to take, we called them makey-dos on the show. So it was the kind of
God,
projects
that
where you could
word.
do at home. Yeah. And you bought a metric ton of that jacks game, where you drop the ball and you pick up the jacks, and you were going to have me. This was like the design thing that I was going to
I
do.
don't even remember that.
You don't? Okay. Well, you and
Pinky
I
just
were.
haunted my soul. They did. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I feel so bad because literally on, and this is on my
Because it's a
reel.
crazy idea. I had this idea. Are you kidding me?
This was your
Jacks?
idea.
Wait, keep going. What did I want you to do with
Oh, I
these
will tell
jacks?
you. And so I was to take fishing line, which somehow tied in. Now Hilton Head makes sense because it was a fishing area. So fishing line, and I was to micro tie a million and one of these jacks into these chain beads that would hang in the doorway of this bar. So when you went to the bathroom, you would kind of do this and you'd walk through, and
It
it
was
was
like a
really cool.
beaded walkway, but with jacks.
Right.
This
Yeah,
is
but
kind of brilliant, potentially dangerous because they're pointy. Okay.
well, I was
Thank
gonna say, why
you.
not just go to fish hooks at that point, right? Like go all the way,
Oh my God.
nautical.
Wait, you know, I did something with fish hooks. Do you remember the Miami? Oh, I got into all kinds of trouble with Mickey
Oh,
D's.
Miami
I had
was trouble
an issue.
too, yeah. But
Yeah. No,
I don't
but
think I called you out on that one. With the jacks, I refused to do it, and you were so mad. And we sat there, they sat us
how
down,
much money did we spend on the jacks? It was probably about the budget.
We
What did the
didn't do the
jacks
jacks.
cost?
And I'll tell you
Oh,
why
we
we
didn't
didn't do the jacks,
have
because I
them.
refused to do the jacks because I was like, hey, Chase, I don't know
Good
if
for
this is a good
you.
idea because people will be, imbibing. And then they're walking into the bathroom like, ah, let's get the jack out of my eye, people.
Oh my God.
And
I can't believe I thought this up.
we could not have planned a better segue into Disaster Diaries because, well, first of all, welcome to Disaster Diaries. Chase, please meet Andy, who I feel like you already,
Hi,
have a history
Andy.
with.
Hi, good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Anyway, thank you for coming on to tell your story because here on Disaster Diaries, the mission that Andy and I have is to help people become more resilient, learn how to rebuild their lives, also to not feel as alone. Because one of the things that Andy and I have discovered is when we started this, everybody seems to either directly have an experience with disaster or have somebody very close to them that has. And so there was this need out there to share their stories. And of course, I immediately thought you're such a lovely storyteller, having spent a career in television. So let's start from the beginning, and tell us about your experience with the fire the day of, or maybe even leading up to it, because you had just moved in. And I want to preface this by saying there's something unique about this story in that you're the first person we've interviewed who didn't own the house. You were actually renting.
What I can tell you leading up to the fire, Evan, is that I moved in the day before Thanksgiving, and I was so happy. And there was time leading up to that where I was getting the house ready. You know, being a designer, yes, it was a rental. I invested money. I painted. I put in wainscoting. I changed all the lighting. Like I put in exterior lights. Like I'm ridiculous, right? And this is what we do because we invest in our environments, regardless of who owns them.
Yeah, you're a landlord's dream.
So now it's Tuesday morning, January 7th, and I leave at 7:30 to go to a job. I was installing a commercial project down like half an hour away closer to downtown Los Angeles. And I'm happy and I get there and life is great. And the clients show up. They were getting ready to leave the country on a trip and I was not expecting to see them. They live in Malibu on the water. And I said, oh, I hope you guys can fly out tonight because the winds are so bad. I wonder if the flights are going to work as normal. And they said, well, we're just so happy we got out of Malibu because they're going to turn the power off because they're worried about the Palisades fire spreading. And I went, Palisades fire? Okay, cut to it's right around like 11 a.m. at this point. I immediately go online and I look up, I'm like, Palisades fire, what's going on? And sure enough, there's news alerts about a fire that started and is spreading. I text my neighbor and I said, is there a fire in the Palisades? What's going on? She sends me a video. All I get is a video from her office window of a very close hillside with incredible black smoke and encroaching flame.
Oh no.
I immediately shut down and drove back. And I called her and she said, they're not going to let you in. Everybody's trying to leave. It's insane. I get back there. Very easy getting in. I mean, off PCH to Mescal, I'm home in like 3 minutes flat. I walk into the house and I just start grabbing like anything that I think is important in my laptop, something I had valuable in a little envelope. Forget the passport. Didn't think about that. Didn't even think about valuables. Grab things that were on the hook, packed like an overnight, something with a toothbrush, and I was like out the door. I probably could have taken 30 minutes to pack some stuff up that was valuable, but nobody thought they weren't coming back.
Looking back, you know that you had 30 minutes. But there are also so many stories where people are like, I had no business being there. I barely got out with my life. And so you
Thank
never
you.
know in those situations.
Getting out, that 3 minute drive was 3 hours. Three
Oh.
hours. And now what's happening in addition is there are seaplanes that are going to the water, red planes, and they're every it's all in a war zone. It's a war, they're flying overhead at maybe 1,000 feet above, and they're going up to the hill and they're dropping water. And there's multiple planes. So it is, I felt like I was in a world war, or whatever. It's a war zone. I get a hotel and I'm in line, and everybody in line is evacuating, and they've got like bags and kids and animals, and it's madness. And I get in the room, and at 7:56 p.m., my phone started to make dings that I did not ever hear before. I didn't recognize this sound, and I was on the phone with somebody, and I said, "What are these sounds?" And I look, and it's the alarm company, and it is every single window on the front of the house, one after the other, the alarm is being set off. So
Oh.
I know in this, I fell to like the floor on my knees because
Oh.
I knew in this moment that the fire was blowing in the front of the house.
Oh my gosh.
So I have to tell you, that moment was the most emotional, heartbreaking moment because you know, my neighbors went the next morning and sent me a video. I hadn't gotten in. It was very hard to get in, but they had gotten in. They're connected. And that video was heart-wrenching. And then insurance wants to know what you had. And you have to start putting together documents and fill out paperwork and find receipts. And if you have a life and you're busy and you're working, it is almost impossible to
Did you
function.
have any pictures of the inside of your house or videos or anything that you could say, well,
Yeah.
look, this is proof of that I had this?
Yeah, I did for
All
sure.
right, so that
And
helps.
also had pictures of the place I had moved from because I had more furniture pictures from there. So yes, I did. And that was helpful. And by the way, my insurance company, and it was renter's insurance, and thank God I had renter's insurance. They were off the charts phenomenal, Progressive, the best insurance company.
That's
And
great.
they were paying, and I was also an early contact. Like I was in touch with them pretty quickly. I imagine everybody was. And they were giving out money before they even saw they because they knew it was real. They're like, okay, we know you have a minimum amount of things. We're going to send you X. And yet I also know right now friends that they didn't lose their house and yet they can't live there. They have significant damage. Part of their house was melted. There's smoke damage. There's asbestos because of all the stuff going, not in their house, it wasn't, but now because of all the construction, it's testing in their air. They haven't received a dime.
You actually got renter's insurance, and so many people do not have renter's insurance because you think you're like, it's not my house, whatever, but you did the right thing. And how well did that pay off for you in terms of rebuilding or at least getting back on your feet? Because you're not back whole yet, I'm sure of that.
I don't think I've really ever realistically looked at my personal belongings values, truly. Like I didn't ever insure, like for example, I rented a piano. The cost of that piano should I had a baby grand piano in that house. Because I play piano and I brought all my sheet. I mean, here's the sad part of that story. I brought all my sheet music from when I was a kid because I play. It was in the piano bench, you know, and that's nothing I'm ever going to get back. That's from my childhood, you know, from when I was in recitals and stuff. So there's just like a lot of misplaced valuation. I don't think anybody, again, certainly as a renter, you don't ever think, oh, I'm going to lose everything I own in this house. Like renter's insurance is for like theft, a flood. I mean, and it, by the way, it doesn't cover flood. So anyone that thinks it does, that's crazy. But that's one of the calls I made when I was driving back to the house that morning. I had that, this is a new renter's insurance policy. So let's talk about return on investment. Let's talk about ROI. Wow. Incredible, incredible. Like that,
You
I
cut
was
your
a new
first check,
person.
like
Yeah.
quite
And
literally, you had
what
just.
they pay is, you know, there's limits, and it did not nearly cover what I lost, but it helped. It
Right.
helped. And I think that a friend of mine launched like a GoFundMe page. I mean, so sweet. Like people really, their hearts poured open and out. And I heard from people, Evan, that like, weren't even the nearest and dearest to me like in that moment, but people that found out and they hunted me down till they could talk to me on the phone. It's very touching to see who shows up in that moment in your life. Like tragedy really does teach you lessons, right? Who's by your side, who's got your back and who doesn't, right? So very interesting moment as a reflection on a journey in life.
we've seen this again and again as a theme of why people are making it through is the people, right? It's us. It's not necessarily the structures and the systems and the insurance policies, which all help, but it's really interesting how it comes down to the common denominator every time.
And I think that's the lesson that people take away. And I think the other thing is this fire was of such scope. Thousands of houses being lost, like the whole community was basically destroyed, a certain chunks of it, right? And even if you did have one standing house on a block where there were 14 and there's one, that person can't live there right now, right? So they're still displaced. Is that so many people need to find a place to live and there's nowhere close. So where do you go? Like, especially when your kids are in school and you have all of a sudden you have to really rethink a lot of things about your life. It's real. Like, it was a vulnerability that I don't think I'd ever experienced. Like, I've never had this kind of tragic situation, right? I mean, I it's and you've lived through it.
You know, a lot of people will listen to this and be like, look, my house was, I bought it for 125,000. I live in, a little bit more in the trailer park, tough, dookie. The loss and the vulnerability you talk about is so core. Did you feel that sense of like betrayal that you couldn't place?
I felt like the wind had been taken out of me. And I think that's because I had the effort and the speed at which I got that house ready for the holiday. And I had people over and I had like maybe two gatherings around holiday stuff. And it was done. Like, it was perfect. And that I actually had just exhaled. And so to have just exhaled and had the wind taken out of my lungs, like it was unfathomable to me. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Is there anything you're doing differently?
My takeaway, and I'm just thinking about it, is more don't have everything in one place. I luckily had a storage unit, so that's particularly lovely that like I have some things that weren't all taken, and including having like a place that you work, where that's not all. I don't, if I had lost my workspace, I don't know how I would have completed anything that I was doing, right? And that was great to have that be separate. So I feel like diversify your assets if you have them. Diversify your belongings. I do think having everything in one place, it seems like a good idea because I think people think the hoarding nature of having everything in one place is a great idea because then they can protect it. Their home, it's in a safe, it's locked up. And yet in this case, not quite the case. So this is a case in point of like spread things around. Now, mind you, I don't know that everybody can. There's a whole other side of that story about how storage units are one of the biggest wastes of money we have in our life. So it's like,
But it sounds like you're also saying have more than one comfort place, right? Because your work, your desk, wherever it was, right? Your place of work where you showed up to do, that's part of your comfort, right? You clearly love what you do. And so it sounds like just having a place you could go that had that normalcy and that familiarity helped,
Yes, so
right?
true. So true, by the way.
To go through what you've been through and to look at all the blessings, you've been listing all of them throughout this. I don't even know if you realize that,
I might not realize,
that you
yeah.
got out safe, that you had some things that were meaningful to you that survived, and all these things that you had the insurance, and you're listening all that gratitude. And I want, before this episode ends, to give you a chance to talk about what you're doing, because it's fascinating. And I know that part of this was a resurgence of something you had started a while ago, and now you're really hitting hard, which is water. And I want you to
Yes.
talk about it because I love this. I love everything
Oh,
about it.
I love it. Thank you for asking. I just want to say one more thing about losing everything. So I think as humans, we insulate our lives, right? Having a home is insulation, clothing, belongings, pillows, books, like televisions, computer, all the things we build around us in life. It's a cocoon of insulation that we create for security, right? That's a fact. So when you remove that from your life and you have yourself and the clothes you have on your back and the shoes you're wearing, and this definitely happened to me. And I think everybody maybe had a different experience with this, is that you look and you're like, wow, nothing matters but me. So A, you're really grateful to have yourself. And then you realize, and maybe we already all know this, that health is everything. Be as mentally and physically strong as you possibly can in this life, because that's what you've got. Honing those skills out of a tragedy is incredibly important. I just want to say that.
Mic drop. Yeah, I
Just
wish I
one.
could. Yeah, boom. I don't know where
I mean,
there.
I think it's just like that's the biggest common denominator takeaway I could give to any single human. So, and thank you for bringing up water. So yeah, water. I don't even know if you know, but I wanted to be an oceanographer when I was young. Like I was very drawn to water, and in the pursuit of things, when I was in like 7th grade, eighth grade, like that window, my family had very strong opinions about what I should and shouldn't do, and I listened to them because they were essentially financing me, right, at that point. So I had to be like, I will not disobey. I will. So I went to school for finance. Did you know that, by the way?
I think you told me about that. I didn't know
Anyway,
about the
blah blah blah.
oceanographer. Yeah.
So, but there's always been like a water, a very strong environmental like thing going on in my life. And I've been involved with over the years, National Resource Defense Council, Environment California, and I'm very protective of all things to do with anything environmental, but water. And when I found out in 20, I think 13, 12, 13, when fracking hit hard, like what it was, how they were extracting gas from the earth, which was by shooting water and creating fractures through earthquakes down a mile into the ground. What they do in when the well was kind of emptied of the gas, they would take this really dirty produced water and put it back in the bottom of the well, like as far into the earth as they could, and they called it black water. And I was like, what? Who thinks this is a good idea? Like this sounds like it's crazy, but energy value. Asset. I understand that, giving the world energy to function is super important, right? So there's always two sides to a coin. And I got really into like wanting to explore fracking. And so I literally drove around the state of California with an early person in this with me. And we went to fracking sites. And do you know that we were chased out of them? Like they did not want people looking. We would be,
I
it
bet.
was awkward. Oh my God, I drove to, we drove to the Salton Sea. Have you heard about the Salton Sea?
Yeah.
Because we were like, what is going on? Why is it so polluted? And you could barely get out of your car. And there you were, and there's like dead fish floating in this murky water, and you can't breathe, their mouth is covered. So I became very familiar with many conditions around water that seemed really like, wow, we have to fix this problem. And that's when I sort of launched the concept of Nothing Without Water. And I did it more as like, how do we raise awareness? How do we get people's attention to pay attention? Like, don't take this for granted. Like, there's a lot of things happening in the world. That's when I learned that Navajo Nation, a lot of the Native Americans that live, I believe, in Navajo Nation, like 30% of them didn't have running water. And I was like, what?
I also want you, if you don't mind, telling the story real quick because our time's almost up of the water couch that you had started to tell me before, where you were interviewing people and their obsession with water.
Yes. So the water couch is now it's the trademark name of the podcast that is launching this year. We're just setting up all of our first 10 interviews right now before we release it. And but it started where I was filming people admitting, my whole approach is everyone has an addiction to water. And how do we make it fun? And how do we make it funny? And how do you get kids involved? So I was getting people to be like on a therapist's couch talking about their water addictions. And I have some footage of that. It's not the podcast, but it's, so there's also a water museum. So part of this is also a built with the Nothing Without Water has designed a very wet, one of a kind massive installation that will be a large, as soon as we figure out exactly where it's going to be, we're working with stakeholders and fundraising and figuring out where it's going. But it's actually going to tell you about the past, present, future story of water. And inside of that, we're going to have a more playful water couch where everybody, not only will we air episodes, but we'll have people come in, like family members, or you can sit with one of our staff and say, talk to us about your addiction to water. And you can take home a t-shirt or a little video, and then there's also competition with an ambassadorship program where you can win a trip to like a water destination, which for kids might be a water park, and for adults it might be a beautiful place in the world where they can go swim in the water or go diving, or the ocean is part of our story too, even though it's not, it's everything. It's everybody living and breathing and working inside of water. So
One
well,
last question, Chase. We
yeah.
ask everybody at the end of our podcast the same question, and it is this: what would you say to somebody who lost their house 5 minutes ago?
Go somewhere where you can sit still and just breathe. Just breathe. Like I think a life lesson that, regardless of anything else, is worrying. There's no payoff for worrying. It doesn't get you to a solution faster. It doesn't solve your problems. it's often what people kind of default to, you know, or panic. I think at that point it could be almost a panic worry. But I just think breathe, realize you're alive, and know that there are solutions that are going to unfold. Boom.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank
So,
you so much.
thank you
Stay in
guys.
touch,
All right.
Chase.
Thanks,
Chase.
I will. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to Disaster Diaries. And if you're moved by these stories, please like, subscribe, leave a review. That will really help us. And also, please share the show with somebody that you think needs it. To tell your own story, download the Disaster Diaries app, available at all app stores, or visit disasterdiaries.com. And if you're looking for help rebuilding, check out buildsos.com for support, tools, and resources to help you better prepare for, respond to, and recover from disasters. Hey there. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not legal, financial, or insurance advice. Disaster Diaries and Build SOS do not endorse any specific products, services, methods, or guest viewpoints discussed here. So please, always consult qualified professionals for decisions related to disaster preparedness, construction, or insurance.